talk about this HAVA's requirement for statewide computerized voter database. How important a part of HAVA's activities and funding is that requirement that's in the HAVA, and who's in charge of at the federal level of officiating over that process?
Well, it's, I think, intended to be a very important part of HAVA. It's one of the larger requirements for which the federal government is giving a substantial sum of money.
Essentially, the three were provisional ballots, new voting equipment, and computerized databases.
Yeah, and there are other, actually multiple other issues that go along with that as well, or that are in addition to that, but those are the big ticket items.
And how big a ticket? I saw a figure somewhere that said 40% of HAVA money is going to go for these computerized databases. Is that a reasonable figure for California or nationally?
Well, as of right now, the state is slated to get $360-odd million.
When's it slated to get it?
Some of it has arrived, and some of it is still to arrive.
Has any of it been spent yet?
Yes. We have, for example, distributed about $51 million to counties for voting equipment to date.
Okay. $51 million has gone from the beginning of HAVA to now, about $51 million to the counties?
That's just out of one pot of money. The total sum I'd have to look at, but it's probably closer to $60
million. But around $54 million for voting machines. This wasn't originally scheduled, but let me see if you could just address it briefly. Where do things now stand with the question of which voting machines are certified, decertified, and especially the question of verifiable paper trails, and where does that stand from your office's point of view right now?
Well, there's some debate as to whether HAVA requires a paper trail or not.
Right.
Different people read the same language. Some say it says it does, and some say it doesn't.
Right.
It's been made kind of moot in California because the legislature enacted a requirement for a paper trail that is effective January 1, 2005. The state may not certify, nor may a county buy a touchscreen system without a paper trail. And then as of January 1, 2006, nobody can use a touchscreen device without a paper trail.
Okay, now within that $50 million that was spent by the, given to the counties, presumably all, has it all been spent already by the counties?
For the most part, but not entirely. Some people are further along.
Okay, and was that money sort of given ahead of time or to reimburse the counties for expenditures that they did on their own, or both?
A little bit of both.
Okay, now, was that money given under the understanding that it would only be spent for machines that complied with the verifiable paper audit trail?
No, that wasn't a requirement at the time that most of the money was distributed.
Does that mean that the machines that were bought were any of them with included those verifiable voter audit trails? And if not, does that mean they have to be thrown out, or can they be retrofitted, or how's that going to work out?
Well, there are a few major vendors of touchscreen voting equipment in California. One of them has a certified system that includes a paper trail.
Who is that?
Sequoia.
Okay.
And the others are coming forward. They're in the federal testing process and coming forward to the state testing process in the next 1 to 3 months. So we anticipate that by mid-year, every one of the, with the exception of one actually, of the manufacturers of touchscreen equipment will have a paper trail solution, and that if everything goes well and smoothly, they'll all be certified at that time.
Will it be up to the counties to negotiate? Do you know whether, without getting too technical about it, whether the machines that they've paid for with that $50 million of federal money are going to be able to be retrofitted, or whether they're going to have to buy new systems entirely?
Well, the other piece of information that might help you in seeing the big picture here is
right.
that of the money that the state is, the HAVA money came in different pots.
Right.
And there was actually $57 million that I talked about before, of which we've distributed $51 million. The rest has not been distributed either because the counties who are eligible for it have not complied,
right.
or excuse me, applied,
right.
Or there are two counties for whom the money is sort of suspended because the legislature has frozen our spending authority. So as soon as they release that money will go out. That's just one pot of money. There's another and bigger pot of money, the requirements money, and of that pot of money, there is $195 million proposed for use for updating voting equipment, and another $4.5 million on top of that to assist counties to convert to a paper trail environment.
Okay.
So there's almost, in addition to the $50 million, which is, quote, punch card buyout money,
right.
There's $195 million plus roughly $5 million, so $200 million of HAVA money. And then there's another $195 million in Proposition 41 money. So total, there's almost a $450 million pot out there for voting system improvement. And the caveat on that is that the $195 million currently is for what our office, working with the counties, has proposed to the legislature. The legislature has to approve the spending plan.
Okay. Is that going to be enough money to do what has to be done here?
I believe so.
Okay.
That's an awful lot of money.
It is an awful lot of money. How much money is it? Now, is there yet another pot that HAVA has provided full of money for the statewide computerized voter registration list?
Well, the big pot, the one that pays for, out of which the $195 million is proposed, also contains $47 million for a statewide database. And that may or may not use all of that money, or it may take more of that money. The database, it depends upon exactly how the database is constructed.
Okay, we're going to get to that in a second, but sticking with the money for a minute, there's $47 million in HAVA money to
proposed
by?
By the Secretary of State's office with the county elections officials to be a part of the spending plan that the legislature has to approve.
Okay, and is that enough by itself to do this project, or will it be more than enough, or will it not be enough and the legislature will have to approve some of California's own money?
It depends on what the system looks like.
Okay, well then let's talk about that. What's your understanding of the main principles or qualities of this system that it needs to have and under HAVA to qualify, and tell us what CalVoter is and how close that is now to complying already.
The main underlying imperatives of the federal law are that the state list be the official list of registered voters in California, and that it be accurate in terms of its ability to identify duplicate registrations and prevent duplicate voting.
Particularly across counties, then. So someone who lives in near the Ventura, Los Angeles County border doesn't register in both places and vote twice on Election Day or by absentee ballot in one or more other counties. Is that the principle?
That's the idea, yeah.
Okay. How close to solving that problem has the... tell us, then, what the CalVoter list is and what qualities it has compared to what HAVA requires.
It's a complicated question, but in its simplest terms, the CalVoter system is a collection of systems in each of the 58 counties.
Right.
And each of the 58 counties defines and maintains their voter registration database, and then essentially uploads periodically that information to the state database.
Okay.
So the primary principle upon which the Cal voter system was built was that the counties, quote, own the data.
Right.
There are no changes made to the system unless the county makes them, and if there's a question about a voter's eligibility to vote, it is the county's system that answers the question.
So the responsibility, whose responsibility is to do the cross-checking, though?
And, well, let me finish
okay.
here a second.
Okay.
The
sure.
difference, then, is the statewide database is required to be the official list.
Okay.
It's required to be defined and administered and maintained at the state level.
Right.
And the state is then the owner of the data, and it is the state list that becomes the list of official voters for election purposes.
I've got it. That's a big difference. Now, was there any consideration in your office of saying, we want the counties to maintain ownership of the list, and we're not going to take any federal HAVA money to build this? Or is there no choice? The federal law requires every state to do that.
The law requires the state to do so.
And there was no complaints? There were no complaints, as far as you know, from any states' rights people saying that this is an inappropriate exercise of federal power and that it ought to be up to the states whether the state or the counties own the lists?
I don't remember that being an issue. Usually those states' rights issues involve relationships between the state and federal government,
okay.
not so much the state and county government.
Okay. Was there any complaint from the counties collectively or individually about this? Have there been?
I think so. I think the history of elections in California and probably most elsewhere is that administration of election is primarily a local responsibility.
Right.
So this is a paradigm shift in a sense, and so what we are trying to do is find a solution that meets the requirements of the federal law and is least disruptive to the current investment in systems and practices and history that the counties have.
No, in fact, the counties will remain under California law essentially owners of the elections, if not the lists, still?
They are still owners of the elections. They still have to print the ballots, count the ballots, find poll workers and polling places and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But the list of who is eligible to cast a ballot has to be defined by the state.
Okay. And what is that going to mean both administratively and technically for the work that you're going to have to do between now and the first of next year?
It means that there's a very complicated technical, regulatory, and procedural project
right.
On our plate.
Okay.
And that's your question is very open-ended in the sense that there are a lot of different design solutions to how to get from where we are to where we need to go, and we are plowing down the road with the counties side by side to come up with something that will be satisfying for the requirements of federal law for January 106 and allow us to build to a more robust system as we improve.
Okay. Now, as that process goes on, is it planned that employees of the state will be designing this system, or are you going to outsource it, or is there going to be some sort of consulting and outsourcing relationship? Where are you looking for the expertise to design and implement this system?
Well, there's the current proposal is to construct a essentially to modify to the extent that we can the Cal voter system technically, and then to surround that with a regulatory package that meets the requirements of federal law, and that would be the approach for January 1, 2006.
Now, right.
That would essentially mean that the work would be done to the existing Cal voter system by the state and the state's contractors that maintain that system. But longer term, and actually on a parallel path and concurrently, we're looking at a longer term solution for which there has been a feasibility study report written, and there would be a request for proposals that would define what the performance objectives are, and then we would see what the marketplace would come up with for system design to meet those performance objectives.
Okay, what's the time frame that you're thinking of? That's a 2010 or whatever?
It's a lot sooner than that, but I'm not sure exactly what the time frame is.
Okay, currently, as much as you want to say and can about the technical parameters of the CalVoter system, does it run on proprietary software or some database package from a database vendor?
Currently, it runs on a commercial product that we purchased and modified when the CalVoter system was constructed.
Can you say what commercial product that is?
No, I don't know off the top of my head.
Oh, okay. All right. And so essentially what you've just said then is that the existing technical level of this is basically there with CalVoter, and it now remains to institute certain procedural or regulatory principles that will bring you into compliance with the federal requirements as well as satisfying the legitimate needs of the counties.
Yeah, as a phase one to the project.
Okay. That's good. Now, are there any provisions in any of these plans to go beyond the creation of simply a database and use this as the basis for providing further levels of identification and authentication for voters, including online means for doing that?
I don't know what kinds of solutions would come out of the RFP process, but part of the RFP would include whatever the identification and security aspects of HAVA are.
Oh, well, you're saying that would be part of what you're doing, or when you put out an RFP for the medium term to possibly outsource this to a commercial company, that they could provide that if they wanted to, or that you might request it, or how might that work?
Well, I just don't want to prejudge what the solutions would be.
Right.
As you know, what we would do is state the requirement, and that is that HAVA has a requirement that every person have an identifier attached to their name, and that be confirmed basically before their registration is effective. How is that done? That's the architecture of that is up to their response, and you don't want to...
Oh, right. You don't want to prejudge the technical solution.
Correct.
What is it exactly that HAVA requires with these personal identifiers and in terms of authenticating the identity of the people who are on the lists?
It requires that registrations include a identifier and that identifier be verified through the state system in consultation or coordination with the Department of Motor Vehicles to verify that the person is who he or she says they are.
Does that identifier mean driver's license number or social security number or anything
driver's
else?
Driver's license or last four digits of the social security number.
And that's part of the HAVA requirements?
Correct.
Okay. That's essentially to allow a person onto the database, and the state will need to check that. Essentially, your division will check that with DMV or the Social Security Administration.
There is a requirement for the state system to verify that information through the DMV, and then the DMV is required to have a relationship with the Social Security Administration.
Okay, so your relationship would solely be with DMV.
Correct.
And they get back to you and say, yes, this is given this information, this is valid.
Right.
Okay. What I was asking about is whether or not it might be part of the requirements later on to provide each of those voters with a digital certificate that would allow them to authenticate themselves online should it ever come to pass that remote internet voting became a possibility in California.
Yeah, I understood your question, and I think the answer is still the same, and that's that if someone were to propose that as a solution, as a part of a solution, then we would identify it.
Oh, as part of the solution to be included in the RFP when the task was being considered for outsourcing.
Right.
Okay. So that's where that stands now, and that would be a decision. That would be a proposal that would be generated within the Secretary of State's office, or from the legislature, or where would that the impetus for that come from? Who would be in a position
for
to propose
the
that?
Request for proposal.
Right. The RFP.
The RFP is a part of the process of constructing a technology project for the state.
Right. I mean, who would put the requirement or the possibility of providing digital certificates for all the voters?
Oh, I don't know that anyone would specify within the document that, hey, you out there, you can propose a digital signature solution to this. What I was suggesting is that we would state the requirement, and that if a vendor were to come forward with that as a solution, that would be part of what would be considered.
Oh, okay. But it would. So the initiative for that would come from the vendors who responded to the RFP, if they felt that was a good way to respond to your requirements.
I assume so. I'm not aware of the process of RFP development and what kinds of specificity it includes or excludes, but it's just my sense that the RFP would not be asking for a specific
way to meet the requirements.
Correct.
Okay. And again, the timing for that, when do you expect that might be formulated and issued, that RFP?
I'm not certain exactly, but I think in the very near term.
Okay. Next year or two?
Oh, sooner.
Sooner. Oh, okay. All right. Well, hopefully when that happens, I'll be on the mailing list, and we'll get in touch again, and we can talk about the elements of that RFP, so everyone can know more about that as well.
Okay. Well, as you I'm sure know, that any time you want to talk to somebody here, you need to address your question first to our media office, and
right,
they will forward or answer themselves if they feel so inclined.
Okay, we'll do that, and I want to thank you for answering today for these questions. And any final comments or general feelings that you have about where the electoral reform situation is in California right now?
That's too big a question to tackle it
okay.
at once.
All right.
I appreciate your asking, but I guess the answer is no.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for talking to us today on California Politics today.
You're welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.